So I'm here at the Warren with Rosa and Matilda, and I've got some questions to ask this comedy duo come to Brighton with lots of stars on their flyer. So my first question to either of you is, what right do you have to make people laugh so much?
we started out trying to sort of create something interesting. We started in the footlights, so we were doing sketches, and that was very much about like laugh to count and stuff. But then we kind of started to try and do sort of more like scenes, more developed stuff, more dark stuff, and then we learned that people will sit through those if they also can be made to laugh. So actually it's kind of, we're trying to create something funny but also kind of like nice to watch and interesting and new, but no right at all.
Can you give people who have heard of them obviously but don't really know now what the Footlights is it now a kind of tired old institution or still the springboard it once was?
It's hard to answer. I suppose each new generation that comes out of it, there's always some really brilliant people amongst that group. Certainly, like, people we were there with are all great, and we've got a lot of love for those guys. You all do a lot of learning together, and some people go on continue to do comedy and others don't, but you certainly, it's a baptism of fire doing, you know, so many shows every week. We learn a lot from it, certainly.
No, but it's such a pressured environment because you're doing like shows every couple of weeks or whatever in front of your peers that I think often when people graduate, they start to look for other ways of performing that give you a bit more space to like play and a bit more space to fail and a bit more space to do other stuff as well than just like give your peers a great night out from their exams kind of thing.
Did it just happen that you now kind of look at each other and go, oh, it's us? Because I've asked that to comedy duos before and it's kind of just happened and now it's just us. You know, we were once six and now we're two. Or was it, no, let's be a two and there was a decision point?
Yeah, we fell in love, I think. We decided to be a two. I decided to put on a sketch show in my second year. The idea was it would be all female comics from the Cambridge scene who were underrepresented at the time, and I think still are in a way. And in that, I just met Matilda, and then a friend of ours said you guys would like seem to have a lot of chemistry on stage, and so through that we then did our first hour together in Edinburgh, which was 2012.
That's right. Weird, so weird, and we're so different now. But I think like the nice thing is if you pair up with someone who is really sympathetic with you on stage and you can connect with on stage and you trust, then you can learn together and like change your style completely together. Like we found we're doing stuff really different now than we were, but you still keep the same like connection and like trust element on stage, which is difficult to find elsewhere.
And as a female pair, what do you gain from not having men in the group, and what do you lose?
Man, like loads we gain, like an incredible amount. I really think this, like we on stage is to be like, I think both sexes are threatening to each other in different ways, but I think the ways that like female comics or female presences are threatening to male presences are much more kind of at the moment anyway exciting and dangerous and risky and dark, and it's not just about power, it's about kind of all sorts of different kinds of power, and like we really like enjoy playing with that, and we're like, you know, performers are terrifying to audiences in different ways, but especially female performers can become really scary to male audience members and female audience members, and I think we gain something really fun by just being able to like play with sexuality and play with erotics and be really like free with our bodies, and we've learned to do that, I think, from a time when we were like maybe a bit more timid and a bit more like women can be funny too, like now it's like obviously women are funny, but like also other ways which we can be like creative and provocative as well.
So I'm now not in any seedy way, but I've got cameras and I'm following you around for a week, reality TV show, and I'm kind of trying to film how, where and when you get your ideas. What do I see? It's a comedy show just leaving next door. So how do you get your ideas?
They come from all kinds of places. Like, we often start with images, so it might be...
Don't worry about the other show. They're just trying to muscle in on our interview.
Images, like films, like sometimes we kind of like we'll watch like a Lynch film and be like completely like transported to another place, or like we'll see some lighting in an opera, not like go to the opera, that's a bad example, lighting in a theatrical show, or like a tech idea from any kind of place.
But we sort of really recently became more interested in clown stuff, and that's often about like trying to, well, anyway, the idea of like starting with nothing. So often we'll start with like one image, be it, as Rosa says, like, you know, a woman with a veil over her face, and then like try and test different ways of going with that idea in front of audiences, and like it means that some audiences get a get like the short straw, get like a raw deal and weird show, but I think in the end and you end up with something which is more reflects like where the audience wants something to go, and you
more
can't really and you can't really anticipate where what will the audience want right now unless you do it in front of an audience. So
and are these kind of meetings, or are you Facebooking each other 24/7 texting ideas, or you know, do you have a very clear process for how you create?
We live together in the same house, same like scuzzy house with no heating.
But is it important to put boundaries around that, or is it 24/7 idea generation?
When the thing is, it doesn't feel like a drag. If you get an exciting idea, then you want to tell your partner about it. You know, you want to like get them excited by it. So in a way, if something comes like that, we also do a thing where we will like prepare, you know, a list of images or ideas like before we know that we're going to settle down to write for a certain period of time. And that way, we like trigger each other by just being able to reel off like a bunch of ideas that we've had in our own time.
If anything, it works the other way around, where like we'll be like talking about our friendship right before a show, and it's like it'll be the other way around, where we like need to keep the like housemate friendship stuff at abeyance while we're trying to rehearse and stuff. Yeah. But our director also lives with us, so it can get like really intense. But the good thing about that is that you get the kind of like hysteria and the craziness that you get with like your siblings when you live together in the same bedroom. Like you get the same like magic, and I don't think you could get that if you were like commuting to like the BFI to write or whatever. So it's good and bad at the same time.
And was that a Footlights thing, having a director? Because I've interviewed even at this Fringe several comedy duos who don't have directors, they direct each other, whereas others absolutely have to have a director in the room.
Well, for us it was also because our director has a really really distinctive way of writing. So initially they were like contributing writing material as well, which they still do, so it's really nice to have like really three really different styles in the show, and often we really like being able to change the tone really drastically and take a break from what we normally would do with a maybe really written piece from our director. So that's really good.
And our director is also really good at pushing us, and like he knows things we do well and things we find hard, and he's got a really good knack for like, you know, driving us to challenge ourselves. It's also always just so useful to have another pair of eyes who can objectively say like, sort it out, or like that's great, or you know.
So there is a man.
Yeah, there is a man, but trust me, he's much less dominant than either of us. Really.
And then when you go on the road with a new show, how much is it kind of printed at the start, and how much are you developing it and moving it?
Completely in development all the time, really. It's always, this show is always in a state of flux, so even though we are writing and we've got a new show, there are things which are that we did today, for example, that we'd never done on a stage before, never showed anyone before. And then we also had a thing that we did last year, and then I think we even had an idea that we had started bringing up two or three years ago. So it's like a mutating thing. And even tomorrow we're going to take out three of the things we did today that we didn't like and put in two new things. And we're always like seeking to like improve and listen to the new audiences that come in and see stuff. There's no point in having that kind of like organic, unstructured way of writing if you don't listen to what your audience tells you. So,
final two questions. This one perhaps is about the line I'm always interested in between improvisation and scripted, and how you play with that.
No, it's a great question. I think that I really only learned the difference between improvisation, which I was like kind of sneered at, and like playfulness and listening to audience and these things that Rosa says. When I went to America, so we both went to America on a tour we did a show, and the improvisation scene there is like really hardcore, like people like literally just like playing for laughs, playing for applause, and it's a very competitive scene. I think for us the relevant difference between improvisation and like the kind of like unscripted playful elements of our show is that it's not about like winning a claim or like about ego or like coming up with a really great line, but it's much more about being very attentive and like aware. And the places where our show is flexible is like trying to like listen to what the audience are liking and try and give them more of that, and like drop the things that we think are good but the audience aren't liking, because it is about kind of like stepping away from ego. That sounds really pretentious, but like trying to leave your sense of I've got this great idea and I'm clinging to it and I know it's not working but I think it's really good, and trying to just trying to give the audience what they find funny and what they tell you is funny about you. So improvisation feels a lot more like throwing cool lines, and everyone can come up with cool lines if you have like half a brain, I think. So yeah, not that worth it. Zing!
Final question to each of you separately. So someone comes to your show who happens to be very rich and working in television, and they are just so impressed with you that they offer you an open checkbook for your own series. Okay, and it can be anything, and they're not going to creatively interfere. So I'm going to ask each of you separately, what kind of direction would you take that show?
That's such a hard question. Yeah. I don't know, it would be an opportunity to do things that haven't been done before. I think a lot of the time you have to battle with not doing anything that's going to be too different, because obviously like people who make those programs want to make money and they want to make things which they can like know that has been done before and people have liked before. So it'd be a chance to just like throw all the rules out the window, I suppose, and do something completely exciting and fresh and yeah, us.
Yeah. You're not allowed to give that answer.
Yeah, not gonna lie, I'm gonna ditch Rosa and I would do like, I genuinely really believe this, if I had all the money in the world, I would make a on the ground hidden camera like genuine prank show with like a political twist, because both me and Rosa are like really concerned about the arts industry at the moment. I think it'd be really good to do some like hardcore like pranks and protests, and like genuinely I think the thing about comedy, like people that love comedy, like you just saw beasts run out of their show, like they love to irritate people and like wind people up, and I think that comedians at the moment should be a lot more like concerned about the assaults that are being, you know, waged on them by the Conservative government. They should be much more keen to like turn that naughtiness into an anti-establishment thing, and I think I would really love to make a show which would just wound up a F-load of establishment cronies and filmed it and made it really funny and made it really wacky and really playful, and you know, everyone can get really down about the government but you can be really fun about it too, and I think I would like to make that sort of show if I had all the money in the world and no commissioners on my back.
Let this word hang in the air as the last word of this interview. Beard.